about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Man, check the temperatures out here. Enjoy it today and tomorrow because summer's coming back Wednesday. Currently, the coolest spot in the state actually is Cheyenne, Oklahoma at 71 degrees and back up. Boise City's at 68. Slap out, 76. Cherokee 79, down here in southwestern Oklahoma, Tipton and Hollis, you're at 77. Hobart, you're at 73. And out here on the West Texas Mesonet site, we have 73 at Lipscomb, 71 at Miami, 73 at Dozer, and 77 at Odell. So hope everybody got some rain this weekend. Looks like Saturday night, everything was north of I-40. And then last night it was south I-40, or vice versa, I'm sorry. Saturday it was south I-40, a little bit up north. And then last night it was all up north. Some really nice rains. So far here in Elk City on the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center, this month we've had 3.62 inches of rain falling in the first 2 weeks of August. And we'll take it. A lot of wind, a lot of wind damage going on. I know I had lots of tree limbs down along the river and wrong farm fields there west of Carter, and they had a lot of power poles down between Elk City and Canute, but it looks like everything got fixed and back up to snuff for the most part. Anyway, well, let's see what's happening in the overnight, if I can find it. There it is. All right. Soybeans were higher in overnight trading after the U.S. Department of Agriculture reduced its forecast for output and yield in a report on Friday. Production is now estimated at 4.205 billion bushels on yield of 50.9 bushels an acre. That's down from the previous projection of 4.3 billion bushels, yield on 52 bushels per acre. Analysts polled by Rutgers were expecting 4.246 billion bushels and yield of 51.3 bushels an acre. The agency also reduced its outlook from on corn production to 15.11 billion bushels on yield of 175.1 bushels an acre. That's down from 15.32 billion and 177.5 bushels an acre. Analysts were expecting 15.135 at 175.5 bushels an acre. Still, corn prices were lower overnight, and they're still low today. Despite the reduction in the USDA's corn outlook, it realized the crop would still be near a record, according to government data. Wheat output, meanwhile, was pegged at 1.734 billion bushels on yields of 45.8 bushels an acre, down slightly from the July outlook of 1.7 and yields of 46.1. Soybeans for November delivery rose 11.5 cents overnight to 13.19 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added $2 to 390.70 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.63 cents to 60.85 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery fell 3 cents to 484 and a quarter a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery lost a nickel at the Chicago Board of Trade at 621 and three quarter a bushel, while Kansas City futures declined 6.5 cents to $7.49 and a quarter cents a bushel. Money managers turned bearish on corn and reduced their net long positions, which is bet on higher prices in soybeans last week. Investors held a net short position or bets on lower prices on 33,000 contracts in corn in the week that ended August 8th. That's a shift from net long position of 12,675 contracts a week earlier. Speculators also reduced their bullish bets on beans to net 62,977 future contracts last week. That's down from 90,000 a week earlier. It's the smallest such position in almost 2 months, according to the USDA. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment firms cut their net long positions in hard red winter wheat futures to 5,163 contracts. That's down from 17,600 7 days earlier. Investors also raised their net short positions in soft red winter futures to net 62,000 contracts last week. That's up from 57 a week earlier. And that's the largest position for soft red winter wheat since June 20th. Okay, let's see what's happening with rain. Man, this rain has just been great for August. I bet nobody's out there cleaning wheat seed today thinking about putting some rye or wheat in the ground, are they? Nah, nobody would do that in August. Flash flood warnings and flood watches have been issued for parts of South Missouri as storms roll through there this morning. Thunderstorms will continue in the regions throughout the morning and be moved out of there here shortly. Lightning and flooding are the main concerns associated with the storms. Flood watches are also in effect for counties in southern Wisconsin due to excessive rainfall. 2 to 4 inches is expected there even today. Moderate to heavy rainfall is expected across the watch areas, especially from late this morning through this evening. And I think I looked at the Long Ranger a while ago. It looks like after today we're done with some moisture. But I've heard that before, too. So, anyway, that's what the forecasts are saying. I will tell you, I was coming back from my place down at Willow, what was it, Saturday afternoon? It was about 5:30 or so, and I was almost to the intersection there in the northwest corner of Willow there where the two blacktops come together, the Peanut Blacktop and the other one just west of Willow. And I seen lightning hit in the middle of Mike and Craig Clark's cattle lot that they got over there, and right where they parked their sprayer in their tanker truck, and smoke, I mean, it went up and just smoke, boom, just, it was crazy. I haven't seen that lightning hit like that in quite a while, so I drove by there to make sure it was still out and called Craig to make sure he checked his sprayer out, because, I mean, it was within 20 foot of it, but nothing was going on there. But man, that lightning was crazy all over the place for the last 2 or 3 days. Anyway, we got that. Well, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Hour, all day long, all hour long, and always on Mondays. I'll have more of them coming, about them coming up. I got some, we'll finish get an update on the current grain markets we got going on right now, and cattle, live and feeders, and I have your Oklahoma and your Texas cattle summaries from the auctions ready to go for you. Oklahoma looks like it was really busy last week, and down south they were really slow. So I'll have those numbers coming up for you right after this OCA break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC, you've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that NAPA replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City NAPA store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. NAPA Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service. 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Good afternoon, Stewarts. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 4th. 1,335 head were sold. Four head of steers at 400 brought 326. Seven at 459 brought 290. Three at 498 brought 272.50. Four at 549 brought 270. Six at 678 brought 238. 24 at 721 brought 247. Six at 855 brought 234. Six head of heifers at 270 brought 330. Ten at 486 brought 262. Six at 567 brought 236. Four at 608 brought 232. Three at 652 brought 233. 14 at 717 brought 238. 12 at 789 brought 234. Butcher cows were 70 to 128. Butcher bulls brought 109 to 136. Bred cows were 1035 to 1835. Pairs brought 875 to 3025. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. Pick and sign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
74.8 degrees here on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette Center. 52% humidity out here in the Texas Panhandle. Let's go with Wellington today. Currently it's 74 degrees, humidity 62%, dew point 60. The winds are out of the north at 10 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today. We must have had a little storm roll through there. 33 miles an hour. So far, month-to-date precipitation, 0.92 inches. 92 one-hundredths of an inch there. 8-inch soil temperature is 82 degrees. Not too shabby for out there. All right, let's see what's going on. Oh, I got to tell you about my Kansas City adventure. So I had to take some processed beef up there and deliver to my sister and another customer up there, and got that delivered. Hung out with my brother-in-law and sister there for a day. Come back. I will tell you that there is a lot of hay down between here and Kansas City. When you get in there around north of when you go through Wichita up towards Emporia, and you get through the Flint Hills, not a lot of hay through there. And but once you get past Emporia, a lot of hay on the ground and rolled up also there. The corn and soybeans between, let's just go north of Perry, Oklahoma, along I-35, all the way to Kansas City. There are some beautiful soybeans and corn along those creek and river bottoms through there. So anyway, looks great. I will tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've made the trip between Kansas City and Oklahoma in here. And that's the worst I've seen the Flint Hills look green. It's got a green tint to it. I've seen more weeds in there. That's the most weeds I've ever seen. I don't know, because of the drought, they didn't do their burns this year. They usually burn at least every other year through those Flint Hills. But the weeds, and I've seen mare's tails through there. Poor people. God bless them with the mare's tails. But anyway, it looked pretty bad. There was cattle out there, but not as many as they usually are. So you can see the effects of the drought working through there on the Flint Hills there. A lot of rocks showing, though. I did get to see a lot of rocks. So anyway, that was my trip. I come back and got right back to work. Anyways, I love that drive. I guess I say I love that drive. I just like looking at the different crops they got through there and how they do stuff. So anyway, all right, let's see what's happening currently with the markets. At the Day in Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697. If you want to report your city or county and how much rain you got, I'd appreciate it. We'll share that with people, and because I think Arnett and up in there really got some good rains here lately. So anyway, they've been needing it. Northwest Oklahoma was lacking there for a little while, but I think it's caught up with them now. Right now, let me see. Let me make sure this is updated. September corn's at 473, down 6 cents. December's at 485. Soybeans August 1422, up 20 cents. Soybeans for September 1353. Soybean meal for August 462.30, up 25. September soybean meal is, what is that? 415.50, up nicely. Soybean oil is down a little bit. August 65.16, September 64.73. Hard red winter wheat. September 747, down 8. December 756, down 10. Oats for September is up 12 at 431. And December oats is at 445, up a little over 8 cents to the bushel. Cotton, climbing nicely. October, 89 cents a pound. December, 87 cents a pound. And then sugar. I hadn't talked about Sugar Daddy in a while. Sugar for October is at 0.24 cents a pound. And same for March. So just hanging in there. Live cattle for August are down 37 at 180. Down 37 also for October at 180.95. December down 30 at 185.15. February 188.87, down 35. Feeder cattle for August down $1.37 at 246.37. And September feeders 250.25, down $1.20. Lean hogs for August is up 15 at 102.25, and October is 79.27, and lean hogs 72.57 for December. Looks like oil's down 75 cents for West Texas Intermediate for September at 82.44, October 81.81. Natural gas is up a little bit, about a penny to be exact, September 2.78. October's 288. All right, let's see here. I'm going to go with big state of Texas first on the livestock summaries. Total receipts last week, 3,539 head. Week before, 4,219. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold mostly steady on limited comparable sales. Trade activity was light to moderate on moderate demand. Slaughter cows and bulls were steady to $4 higher. Supply was 80% feeders and 17% slaughter and 2% replacement. That's it. All right, let's check out some stuff on some steers. Let's go with some 400 pounders. They had quite a few. The average weight was 441, bringing anywhere from 300 to 302. Let's go with some 725 pounders, bringing up to 253. Some 800 pounders, bringing up to 239. And then they had some 900 pounders weighing 905, big load of 125, 239.75 to 241.10. Put the math on that, baby. Did pretty good. Heifers, let's try some 500 pounders, we're bringing up to 259. Some 800 pounders, we're bringing up to 224. And head down here with their cattle deal. Breaker cows. Had quite a few of those. Still looks like there's some culling going on, or people just getting rid of some older cows and maybe replace them with heifers later. I don't know. Won't know unless I talk to them. Breaker cows anywhere weighing anywhere from 795 to 1356. The low was 94.62. The high was a 112.41 on average. Boner cows were anywhere from 928 to 1240, 1260, and the high on them was 98.73 average price. Looks like some of them were bringing up to $1.17, and the low lightweights were bringing 72.75. Lean cows weighing anywhere from 789 all the way to 1115 was the heaviest, and it looks like the, on average, high was 82.78 or 72, and that was average. They had some bringing up to $1.13, and then the low was 52.70. Very low lightweight cows. On the bulls, they had a few in there. Maybe 15 or 20 were bringing anywhere from 80 cents to $1.32, and they were weighing anywhere from 805 to 1828 on average. Okay, bred cows, let's see if there was any market there. Not really. Here we go. Bred cows, medium, large, number ones, number twos, with weights anywhere from 1,200 to 1,385, we're bringing up to 1,800. And then cow-calf pairs, medium and large, one to twos, with 150 to 300-pound calves on them, we're bringing up to $2,200. Cow-calf pairs, medium, large, twos, with 150-pound calves, up to 150-pound calves, 1,710. So that was all was going on. Pretty, not much going on down there as far as sale barn receipts. Oklahoma, whole different ballgame. 26,295 head were sold through the sale barns last week compared to 17,595 the week before and then 33,000 a year ago. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers traded mostly $1 to $5 higher. Steer and heifer calves traded $4 to $8 higher. Slaughter cows and bulls traded mostly steady, $2 higher, with the exception of breaking utility cows, which traded $3 to $4 lower. Trading activities mostly active on good buyer demand. Rain showers around the state Monday and over the weekend with beneficial rains to parts of northern and eastern Oklahoma. Temperatures have also cooled down in some of those areas. These timely rains are helping restock some of the depleted hay supplies. There you go. Okay, let's see what some steers were bringing in Oklahoma. Well, let's go some 400 pounders. 423 average weight was bringing up to 309.40 was the average weight. And then they had some winged ones was bringing up to unwinged ones was bringing up 287. Some value-added calves, 332.50. And then some 500-pounders. We got some fancy ones that brought 308. Some thin-fleshed ones brought 317. Some 526 weights, unwinged, brought up to 287. And let's see here. Let's check out some 900-pounders. How about that? Looks like 239 was the high end, but they was averaging anywhere from 209.48 to 236.72 on some 900-pounders. Pretty nice. Okay, let's see here. Check out just a few heifers. Some 427-pounders, unwinged, brought 281. Some 425-pounders, winged, brought $3, up to $3. And then down here in the 700-pound range, it was bringing up to 240. And 9 and 8 weights were bringing up to 219 and 218 across the board there. Some 8 weights brought 229. So that's pretty good, pretty good, pretty good. I'd sell some at that price. Okay, let's go down here and see what was happening with slaughter cows. Breaker cows in Oklahoma, quite a few head there, ranging anywhere from 1342 on average weight to 1427, was 107.98 to 121.32. $1.30 a pound was the highest breaker cow sold last week, reported by the USDA. Boner cows, bunch of those. Here's 360 head, average weight 1274, average price 115.33, 121 being the top end there. And then on lean cows, quite a few of those. Here's 406 head, average weight 1151, 108.60 was the average, 115 was the highest. And then just didn't have any breakers in there. They forgot them. Or no, I already got them. Never mind. Anyway, bulls. Quite a few bulls. Over 200 bulls sold last week at the sale barn, weighing anywhere from 1250 to 1868 on the average, bringing anywhere from 110.45 to 133.60 on the average. $142 per hundredweight was the highest selling bull in Oklahoma at the sale barns last week. Bred cows, 2 to 4 year olds, weighing 971, brought 1700. And then we got some bred cows, medium and large, number ones and twos, 2 to 4 year olds, brought up to 1750. Some more 2 to 4 year olds, brought up to $2,100. And then 8 year old or olders were bringing 1500. Cow-calf pairs, not a big market for pairs last week in Oklahoma, and from what I understand, they was acting a little, the market was acting a little funny on the cow-calf pairs. 150-pound or less calves were bringing up to 21.25. Some cow-calf pairs, medium-large, with 150 to 300-pound calves on them, brought up to 23.25. And cow-calf pairs, medium and large, number ones, with 150 to 300-pound calves on them, was bringing 1850. And then we got some medium and large, number one through twos, cow-calf pairs were bringing anywhere from 1250 to 1875. So there's your market update. I don't see anything crazy off going on the deals. Still a really good market for cattle. So, all right, let's take an OCA break. And when I come back, I'll have a little bit about them, and we'll do your Northwestern Oklahoma forecast. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
H2O Bait, Tackle, and More is passionate about helping you get the most out of your fishing experiences. Whether you're chasing trophy bass or simply spending a relaxing day on the water, they have an abundant selection of rods, reels, hooks, and lures, all from the top brands in the industry. While you're there, they'll hook you up with the right equipment for whatever type of fish you are trying to catch. So come see for yourself the biggest selection of fishing gear and accessories in Western Oklahoma at H2O Bait, Tackle, and More on Pioneer Road in Elk City.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You're already glad they keep your lights and your air conditioners powered up, but this Saturday, you're going to be extra glad you're a North Fork Electric Co-op member. That's because you're invited to a party. It's technically the 84th annual members meeting, but it'll look and sound and feel and taste like a party. It's this Saturday at the Sayre City Park. Drive-thru registration begins at 9 a.m. at the RV park entrance. You don't even have to get out of your car. This year's grand prize is a 2023 John Deere Z545R mower, sponsored in part by Western Equipment. Runner-up prizes include $1,000 cash from R&R Powerline, two Makita self-propelled electric mowers, and a 70-inch TV. Bring the family for live music, free barbecue, free swimming, free miniature golf, and lots of door prizes. And you can enjoy the Sayre Chamber of Commerce Vendor Fair. For details, like and follow North Fork Electric on Facebook and Instagram. It's a meeting that's really a party. The 84th Annual North Fork Electric Co-op Members Meeting, this Saturday at the Sayre City Park.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it.
Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen Association Happy Hour. I picked Camargo for your forecast up there. Currently it's 76, feels like 76, dew point 60, humidity's 58, 24-hour rainfall, 0.27 inches, which is 271 thousandths of an inch, as they say, up around Grimes. Winds are out of the northeast at 14 miles an hour, wind gusts is up to 20. Sunset at 8:30, and let's see what's happening. Today, 82, tomorrow, 87. Starts warming back up Wednesday, 93. Thursday, it's going to be hot, 97. And Friday, hot, 99. So anyway, I was kind of looking at that low tonight. Check it out. We're going to be in the 50s, 58 at Camargo for a low tonight. So enjoy the next few nights. Open the windows up and let the cool air roll through the house. It'll be just all right. When you are a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you also get to be part of the many ways that cattlemen give back. The charitable arm of the OCA is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation. The OCF distributes over $25,000 in scholarships each year, organizes internship programs, pays out theft awards, and has collected and paid over $1.5 million in natural disaster relief for wildfires and flooding. The OCA also hosts an annual WRCA sanctioned ranch rodeo, which I think was last weekend. I'll have to check in on that. For Oklahoma ranch teams, over $600,000 of the proceeds of this event have been given to benefit the Children's Hospital Foundation. It's always a great day to become a member. In addition to being the trusted voice for Oklahoma cattlemen, the OCA also serves as your state brand restaurateur. Brands renew on years that end in 0 and 5. So for you guys having a little difficulty with your map, the math there, that's every 5 years, either like 2025 or 2030. Anyway, I'm just kidding. An official brand book is printed and distributed to local sheriff's office, extension offices, and ag educators across the state at no charge. Now you can also access the state brand ownership records online at the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association website under the brands tab. Go to www.okcattlemen.org or call the office or just get in touch with Lori at 580-273-5137. Also, if you hadn't picked up the new penny news from last Thursday, you really need to get out a little more. Get it picked up because there's a couple things I need to tell you about. Everybody I know of looks forward to the Colorado peaches and pears. They're headed near town like you from Cunningham. Matter of fact, they was in Altus today at the Whataburger. Anyway, check it out. It's on the front page. You can't miss it. Altus, Perryton, Canadian, Pampa, Borger, Kingfisher, Enid, Lawton, Fairview, Woodward, Alva, Weatherford, and then right here in Elk City at the Elk City Co-op Gym. Anyway, check out the dates on it. Too many to read out to all you guys, but anyway, you heard the towns that I got going on. Front page of the Penny News. Get your copy. Also, the Jackson County Conservation District, all friends of mine here, is selling the following equipment by sealed bid. So if you're looking for a good used farm truck, this might be the one. 2008 Ford F-350, 4x4 single cab, dual rear wheel pickup with flatbed. 71,000 miles on it. Anyway, all the information is right there on the front of the Penny News. And for you bargain shoppers, $13,500 will be the minimum bid on that one. Okay, got that going on. All right, let's see here. The farm gate value of U.S. corn and soybeans, the two most widely grown corns crops in the country, will fall 16% compared to last year's harvests due to a steep drop in commodity prices. Because it is a couple dollars cheaper, corn is for sure right now than it was last year. The farm gate value of U.S. corn and soybeans, the two most widely grown crops. The season average price for corn was forecast to be $1.70 below the near record prices paid in the 22 crop, and soybeans are expected to be $1.50 a bushel below last year's prices. Production of the crops is surging worldwide. Global corn output should rise 5% and soybeans 9% during 2023-2024, according to the USDA. Commodity prices have run at high levels since 2020, driven by strong global demand. And since February of 2022, fears of shortages due to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Prices spiked immediately after the invasion and declined in the few following months as supply chains adjusted to the disruption. For months, analysts have forecast lower commodity prices and a resulting decline in the U.S. farm income this year. This year's corn and soybean crops would be worth nearly $127.5 billion, almost $24 billion less than the combined $151.4 billion value of 22 crops. With the fall harvest at hand, the USDA estimated corn would fetch an average $4.90 a bushel and soybeans $12.70 a bushel. By contrast, crops were bringing $6.60 a bushel for corn and $14.20 a bushel for soybeans last year. In its first estimate of the fall harvest, the USDA said the corn crop would be the second largest on record at $15.1 billion. That's 10% larger than last year. The soybean crop was forecast at 4.21 billion bushels, and that's 2% smaller than last year. Cotton growers were forecast to harvest 14 million bales, down 3% from the drought-hit 22 crop. The rice crop of 203.6 million hundredweight would be 27% larger than the last year due to larger plantings in every rice state except for Texas, and higher yields everywhere. At 1.73 billion bushels, the wheat crop will be 5% larger than the one in 2022, which people tend to forget. Last 2 years we've been in a drought. The wheat crops have not just been overall in our state for sure the best we've ever seen, by no means. The August crop report often is called the most important of the year because it's the USDA's first estimate of fall harvest. This year, USDA interviewed 14,700 growers nationwide about probable yields. In September, the USDA will incorporate the results of the yield surveys of selected corn and soybean fields. Has anybody ever got one of those calls? I want to know. If you have, the text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. In the past 20 years, the USDA estimate of the corn crop in August was larger than the final harvest figure 12 times and smaller in the other 8. For soybeans, the August estimate has been below final harvest figure in 13 years and higher in 7 years. The USDA says the corn estimate has a margin of error of plus or minus 4%, and the soybean estimate has a margin error of plus or minus 6.3%. Speaking of the text line, I got a question for all you guys out there. If I can get back over to it, here we go. Okay, it says, "Hey, Jimmy, I have a question that maybe you or one of the other listeners might know the answer to. A couple years ago, I had to go to North Dakota, and I noticed as I drove through northern Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, and up into North Dakota that farmers were maintaining and baling hay in the bar ditches. Why is that not something that we see here in Oklahoma, especially when we have these droughts for several years?" wide open, 580-225-9697 if you know the real answer. Now I'm going to give you my opinion. There's a lot less landowners in northern Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota. And then I think in Kansas, and I think also in North Dakota, because I worked there, there's actually a contract with county roads and state highways that aren't super busy. There's actually a contract that is awarded out on a yearly basis out there. You put in a bid and you see if you can be the one to get the bale and swath and bale that hay through there. But there's so many landowners around here, everybody owns an 80 or a quarter or half section right here up there in northern Kansas and Nebraska, all up in there. You know, they own sections and sections and miles after that. I can see if they don't have a contract and they're doing it, their neighbor's not going to come out shooting because you're baling up their hay and their bar did. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. That's an opinion for whatever it's worth. But we'll see if somebody sends in a text or what the real reason is for it. And I just think there's and plus, we have super quail highways in western Oklahoma. We don't want you bailing swath in the bar ditches. So, anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. Visit there Saturday looking for some parts for my pivot down there, some fittings, and got them. So, anyway, everything's good there. Got to see all the guys. They were busy. That place is crazy. I mean, they have got people coming in buying guns and stuff, and then you got people loading up hog panels outside, and you got people buying plumbing parts inside. It was crazy. It's good to see a very successful, good business down there, and the guys are all very nice to talk to, and they're very polite with you. So anyway, we'll be right back after this OCA break.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know, you know, what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with Southstar JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back from that OCA break. I've picked Big Town of Mangum, 80 degrees right now, and it is dew points 57, humidity's 47, no rainfall in the last 24 hours. The winds are out of the northeast at 16 miles an hour. Sunset at 8:28, today 85, tomorrow 92, Wednesday 100, Thursday 107, Friday 108. It's going to be a hot week after tomorrow, so enjoy today and tomorrow in the 80s and the low 90s while you can. Okay, so I have, if I can find it here, there it is. I got some stuff on cotton reports. In August crop report, USDA estimated the 23-24 U.S. cotton crop at 13.99 million bales, 2.51 million bales less than projected the previous month based on the season's first production field survey. Upland production was estimated at 13.72 million bales and extra long staple production at 268,000 bales. Harvest area was estimated at 8.62 million acres, implying a non-harvest area of 2.46 million acres. The resulting abandonment rate is 22.22%. The national average yield per harvest acre was estimated to be at 779 pounds less than the five-year average. On a region's basis, let's check out what's happening in the Southwest, because that's where we're at. The Southwest upland crop is estimated at 4.97 million bales. Expected harvest is area is 4.45 million acres, and the regional yield is 536 pounds, 147 pounds less than the five-year average of 683 per harvested acre. The Texas upland crop is estimated at 4.2 million bales, almost all that for the Southwest. Expected harvest is at 3.9 million, and the average yield is 517 over bale an acre, minus 160 pounds compared to last year, with expected yields of 923 pounds plus 76. Kansas is up in yield with compared to its five-year average. Oklahoma is down with an estimated 594 pounds per harvested acre. That's down 85 pounds. How about that? Let's see. I was going to see how many acres are in the Southeast. 2.3 million. So anyway, quite a bit of difference. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, they've had some West and Southwest producers out viewing some Mid-South operations. 14 cotton producers from the Cotton Belt's West and Southwest regions will observe cotton and other ag-related operations in Louisiana and Mississippi starting yesterday all the way through this week. More than 1,200 U.S. cotton producers will have been exposed to innovative production practices in the Cotton Belt regions. They're different than their own. After this tour and this year's other PIE tour, which in the Southeast and the Mid-South producers will see cotton operations in Texas next week. How about that? I just seen some of these deals. What got me going is name off some of these people that have been there, because probably a bunch of you guys know who they are. The NCC's member service staff, in conjunction with local producer interests, organization coordinates the PIE program tours and participant selection. The 14 Mid-South Tour participants are from Arizona. They got three or four guys in there, and we got California, and then we get to Oklahoma. Brandon Cunningham from Hollis, Russell Isaacs from Turpin, and Austin Leverett from Altus. How about that? So anyway, they're on that tour currently, I guess, right now, according to what I'm reading here. Fertilizer prices recently have dropped to levels not seen since 2021, though it's unclear how long the low prices will last. Since last summer's highs, the price of anhydrous ammonia, phosphate, potash, urea have dropped in some markets by 47%, 20%, 35%, and 50%, respectively, in that order. Despite this recent downward trend, some experts predict prices may stabilize or even rise again in the coming months due to the renewed shortages result from the war in Ukraine. Always blaming it on Ukraine. Ongoing labor challenges at Canadian ports and growing producer demand, amongst other factors. Fertilizer prices have already been rising steadily. In 2021 before spiking dramatically after Russia's February 22 invasion of Ukraine. Prior to the invasion, Russia and its close ally, Belarus, if I said that right, accounted for 41% of the global trade in potash. Russia alone exported 11% of the world's trade in phosphate and 14% of the world's trade in urea. So there you got going on. Net export sales for the week ending on August 3rd was 286,900 bales, combined with outstanding sales of 2.2 million bales on July 31st that will carry forward into the 23-24 sales of 2.6 million made the previous marketing years, bringing the total to 23-24 sales to 5.1 million bales of cotton. Total sales at the same point last year in the 22-23 marketing year was 7.6 million bales. So it's down a little bit. Shipments for the week, 133,800 bales, bringing total exports to date, 133,800 bales compared to 191,600 last year in the 22-23. So that's your cotton update. Got that going. I got to tell you guys about my pumpkin. This pumpkin ain't no bull, I'm telling you. I've been watching her, because it's a her, it's got to be a her, and grow for the last month after it appeared out of underneath the vines when I went searching through all my cantaloupe and watermelon vines looking through it. I have a big girl in there. Estimated weight on it right now is anywhere from 27 to 33 pounds on this cantaloupe. And Miss Amber Harrison here in Elk City, I went with her when she weighed her state record cantaloupe last year at the post office here in Elk City. And I might be off an ounce or two here, but I'm pretty sure it was 38.3 ounce was the state record. And she told me the other day there was a guy in southeastern Oklahoma that's after since she got her state record beat, which is fine. And then she's got that watermelon over there, 1,000-something pounds. Oh, my gosh, y'all see the sizes, or not watermelon, pumpkin size of it. But anyway, so I got a big old cantaloupe growing in my garden I'm really proud of, and animals don't get it, the varmints don't get it. Anyway, it's going to be a beautiful deal. It's a monster. I mean, guys, think about it. 30-pound cantaloupe, that's a big cantaloupe. And she gave me the seeds out of it, and this is one of the seeds, one of the cantaloupe that came out of the state record last year. So anyway, I had to brag on it for a minute, man. You just don't grow a 30-pound cantaloupe every day in western Oklahoma. So anyway, all's good. Let's see what's happening on – oh, I got you. So I had one person send in a text that they couldn't bail – the bar ditches for years because of leaded gas. So if you guys know your exhaust puts off, all that stuff, you see the grass is greener along the edge of the road, that's because the moisture out of the grass. But this one guy, person, I say guy, person texted in, see, for years you couldn't do it because of the leaded gas, and the grass was toxic because of the leaded grass. How about that? I had no clue. I do now. So anyway, that's all the responses I got on there, and that's why. But I'm pretty sure around here in western Oklahoma, it's just because there's so many landowners. Somebody is going to be saying, you can't do that, that's my grass or whatever. That's pretty much probably what goes on around here. Up there in the big country where they own sections and sections, they probably get by with whatever they want to up there. Anyway, that's it. Man, what a blast. See you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.